Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and from our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, may the word of my mouth and meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus kept his promises and did what no human in history has ever done before or since. He raised himself from the dead. He made many appearances for 40 days after that momentous event, giving his disciples a chance to let his glorious truth kind of sink in. He's victorious. As we even confess in Easter, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. For a long time, the Christian church has made it a custom each year during the 40 days after Easter to focus on the joy and wonder of the resurrection appearance of Jesus, as we are doing this morning. Jesus is with us always, but he chooses where and when and how he makes his presence more obviously and apparently to his followers. He often reveals himself in places and in ways and in times that they didn't expect it, and surely that we don't expect it. We praise the Lord when we trust in his promises and we walk by faith and not by sight. That is to say, we must recognize the risen Savior, Redeemer, where he promises to reveal himself. And that sounds easy, but not in today's Christian world. Let's get down to the facts. Our Redeemer rose from the grave and was victorious over the clutches of death. The Hebrew Scriptures declared that it would happen. Psalm 16 says, "For you, O God, will not abandon my soul," talking about Christ, "to Sheol, or let the Holy One see corruption." Isaiah 53 proclaimed the resurrection. "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief with his soul, and when he makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring," speaking past tense, "he afterwards shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Out of the anguish of his soul, he will see the light of day and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Three times in the weeks just before Jesus' death, even Jesus told his apostles that he would die and he would rise again, but they just didn't get it. And then the risen Redeemer had revealed himself to his followers. Jesus had, before the text, already appeared to Mary Magdalene at the grave, and then later that day to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, then that night to the disciples in a room, then the following week again to the disciples in that same room. Besides those appearances in Jerusalem, he had promised to see them before he would be ascended into heaven. And after our text today, the apostles would be commissioned by Jesus as witnesses of the resurrection. So Jesus was speaking, and Scripture was speaking of the resurrection all the time. But why didn't the disciples get it? Because they were looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Here we stand with Jesus and his disciples now at the shoreline of Galilee, or Tiberias, if you want to go with the text. Jesus had promised to reveal himself there. He told Mary about it. "Tell my disciples I'll go see him in Galilee." But he didn't say exactly when and where or how. Jesus' followers had to wait and watch for him, and waiting has a lot of challenges to it, including in our lives. We don't like waiting. We're impatient, especially here in America. One of the stark examples of third world countries versus first world is third world countries don't really live on time. But we are so time oriented and impatient. We must fight the temptation to become weary in well-doing, as St. Paul says. St. Paul says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." The people of Galatia knew about being growing weary, growing impatient, much like we do in America. Paul reiterated this to the Thessalonians. "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Even though the world's against you and you're doing good, don't grow weary by it. Stay vigilant. We must not be caught up napping like the virgins in the parable of the 10 virgins. We should be at all times ready for the coming of the Lord, because it can happen at any time. Even though we think we are being impatient, God has his time set that he will come again. Be vigilant. Be ready day and night to welcome the Lord. We must use this time in the interim profitably for the kingdom of God. Like the parable of the talents proclaimed, don't go and hide the treasure that you've been given. Don't go and hide your faith so that when Christ comes, you can dig it up and say, "Here, Christ, I didn't lose anything of this. I give it back to you." What good has that done for the kingdom? Rather invest and speak and proclaim the message of Christ and him crucified. Invest it in the kingdom that it may grow. We should not second guess God and what he determines and allows in our lives either. Peter received a respectful correction from Jesus Christ about worrying about things that he shouldn't be worrying about. You see, right after our text, Peter asked Jesus about John. And he says, "And what about him?" And Jesus respectfully tells Peter, "You have enough to worry about. Don't worry about him." It's a gentle reproof for each and every one of us. Mind our own business. The Lord, he has plenty for you to do. You worry about what you're doing for the Lord, not what others are doing or how others are doing it, or why they're right and we're wrong, or why they're wrong and we're right. Suffice it to say, there is enough for each of us to do rather than be nosy about other people and what they are doing. If you don't believe me, a gentle reproof will be to read Job 38 and 39 and see how Job, who was nosy about things he shouldn't have been nosy about, got reproof from the Lord. But we do need to encourage one another in these latter days. Scripture is replete with the command, it's not a suggestion, to encourage one another. Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians. He talks about it in Colossians. He talks about it in Ephesus, and he talks about it in 1 Corinthians. over and over and over, encouraging one another. And that's what happens as we come to church, to be encouraged in the Lord, encouraged in our walk. But when it comes to recognizing our risen Redeemer, will we be like the disciples who failed the task? Not only on Easter, but now weeks later in Galilee. And Jesus is standing on the shoreline and they don't even recognize him. Will we be like them? Not if we remember that Jesus' ways are not our ways. They are above our ways, as St. Paul says. Oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has been his counselor? Almost reminiscent of Job 38 and 39. The disciples needed to be reminded who Christ was. And he reminds them by what he has done. The greatest example of not understanding what this is all about because God's ways are different than our ways is Jesus going the way of the cross. We don't get it. We don't understand. How can the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, very God of very God, go the way of death? And even for our sake. The cross is the folly to the human wisdom. And yet, that's where we have eternal salvation. Yeah, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus at first because they were looking for him in different places that they shouldn't have been looking for. When is he going to come to overthrow the kingdom? The Romans. And you don't think that was on their minds? Just read Matthew chapter 28. Lord, is it at this time that you are going to overthrow the kingdom? The disciples didn't recognize Jesus because they didn't go to where he could be found, where he located himself. He located himself in a cross and in a grave for the forgiveness of all sins. Don't let us make that same mistake, looking for Jesus in the wrong places, in the depths of our hearts or our feelings or our emotions. But rather, look for Jesus where he says he will be found. We will always find our Savior where he promises to reveal himself. No longer on the cross. He won't be found there, death only there. No longer at the grave, he's already risen. Jesus has hidden himself so that he might reveal himself to us. He emphasizes that he is hidden to the disciples that day, that he might reveal himself to the disciples that day. And just so, he does the same to you and I, and you and me. He reveals himself that he might unveil himself to us. We have confidence that the risen Redeemer does reveal himself. We call it in the Lutheran Church the means of grace. The means of grace are word and sacrament. That's where Jesus has promised he will be. In baptism, we are united with Christ. Just as St. Paul says, where we, right before a funeral service, we bring the casket into the church and we put a pall over it representing our baptism, where it washes this body clean. We say, do you not know that all of those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? If we have certainly been baptized into his death, we shall be baptized into his resurrection. Where does Jesus locate himself? In holy baptism. We already know he locates himself in the Word. Where else does he locate himself? None other than the words, this is my body and this is my blood. It's in bread and it's in wine, and I give it to you. There you find Jesus, victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. The means of grace keep the promise of the resurrection before you in your eyes and in your ears and in your hearts and in your minds. There Jesus has located himself. Don't look anywhere else. He will not be found. He will be found in word and in sacrament. And that's why we gather. To receive Jesus in all his fullness, in all his glory, in all his power and might. In word and in sacrament, where he has located himself. He hides himself in those things so that he might reveal himself in all power to us. It is of utmost importance that we recognize our risen Redeemer where he has promised to be found, and not let Satan, the world, or our emotions, or our feelings, or sinful flesh obscure this. Jesus provided and continues to provide his disciples with what they needed to have faith in his victory over death by his resurrection. And he has equipped us for earthly lives that are worthy of living, and that they are capable of bringing glory to God and the benefit of our neighbors. He promises blessings to those who follow and to obey him. And while we wait for him to return and inaugurate his heavenly kingdom in all of its fullness, we can find him. We can recognize him, where he is and where he has promised to be. We will find him in the means of grace, which speak the sweet word of forgiveness to us. There we will find the strength and the encouragement and the enduring until he gloriously comes again and will take us home. In the name of Jesus, amen.